Wow. I know it would be enough to say amen and amen and go home. I know it would be. But bear with me just a few short moments. It is Easter after all. And it's a great time to be together. It's the one day out of the year where no matter how often you come to church, you come on Easter. We show up. We just really want to be with our church family on Easter morning. What is it all about? Is it about getting to see everyone that you know and love? Is it about that chance every spring to buy new clothes and look our finest? Like the little girl who said in her prayers one night, "God, if you'll look real close tomorrow, I'll show you my new red shoes." Is Easter about our chance to show God our new shoes? Or is it all about this glorious music, the brass playing, the organs? Or is it about the lilies and or seeing all of the children in their Easter outfits and those new red shoes? Or maybe it's the big crowd that we can kind of get lost in on Easter morning. Or maybe it's because you know that the preacher will give her best sermon on Easter. No pressure. Why has this day become such a big day in the church? Some researchers have actually said that many people come to church on Easter because they want to know the facts. And they come year after year because they want to know what really happened. Did Jesus really die? Was he placed in the tomb still alive and he woke up? Did he really roll that huge stone away, or did angels come and roll it away? We read the scriptures today in John, but you can read them in each one of the Gospels, and they're different. Man, Matthew gives some of the best details. The earth shakes and reels. God's angels come down, and they roll the stone away, and lightning is blazing out of the angels. Wow. Doesn't that sound exciting? And what does the angel say? "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I remember as a youth, our youth minister brought in one Sunday morning a man. He was a lawyer, but he was also a historian and a writer. And he came in on Easter morning to give us all of the gory details about what happened, about the crucifixion, about the resurrection, how much the stone must have weighed, how big the tomb was, what all they had done to Jesus' body. I remember thinking then, and I'm pretty much stick to the same thoughts now, how do you know? And more importantly, do we need to know? This day is and always has been filled with mystery. As long as we live on this earth, this is going to be a mystery. We don't know the details. We don't have moment by moment accounts of the actual blow-by-blow events. Even the accounts we do have tell us different stories. We come together on Good Friday and we go through a meaningful, dark, sad night, and we're moved by the story of Jesus on the cross. But we know as we sit and as we sometimes get a little emotional, we know on Friday night what the outcome is on Easter. Easter is coming. Alleluia. We plan for it weeks ahead, months ahead. We know Easter is coming. I've jokingly said all week, but it really is true. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Don't worry about the Good Friday service. Don't worry about the Easter service. We were having trouble with the organ on Wednesday night, and we were all kind of going through a little bit of a panic. And I just said, well, you know what? Jesus is going to rise again with or without an organ. And Jesus did, and we still have the organ. So again, what draws us together on this day? Besides trying to make Mom happy being at church, or besides that wonderful meal that may be waiting for you at home, do we come expecting to hear more of the same year after year? Or maybe we come expecting some candy-coated cliches that don't really touch the real questions of our lives, or don't even begin to comfort our deep grief. The fact is, if we came today expecting to get anything, we've got a problem right there. Worship on any day, Easter or not, is not about getting, but is about bringing ourselves to God. But the other news is that we just aren't going to find the answers to all of our questions. That's the whole point of faith. Believing in something that there's just no logical proof of. When Mary and Peter and the other disciples went to the tomb that morning, they didn't get any answers. They didn't know what had happened to Jesus' body. Jesus didn't show up to them and say, hey, I'm back. Now let's get everyone together and let's get out of here before they realize I'm back. That would have been a great way. He didn't come back and leave little clues hidden in Easter eggs all around to say, come find me. There was as much mystery for those who lived and walked and talked with Jesus as there remains today for us. Just as much mystery. No one really understood what happened. How often do we live through experiences and we still don't know what's going on? I just don't get it is one of my common everyday phrases. I don't get it. I don't know. So I come back to the original question, why are we here? What brings us together on this glorious Easter morning? For what reason do we need to gather together? For me, our Colossians scripture helps to answer the question just a little bit. If you've been raised in Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Every day as we walk through this earthly life, we've been given, we set our mind on earthly things. The first thing when I wake up in the morning, my mind starts going through the list of what I have to do today. And I think I'm not the only one. What do I have to do today? And try as I might to get that out of my mind and try to go back to sleep, the list is already going. When I get up and I try to spend some time in silence or prayer, those earthly things draw my mind away. Get in the car and drive to work. And the traffic on the road and the need to be somewhere fast makes us fly right past that person in need of a smile or a kind word, or that person who just needs to get over in front of us in traffic. Because we've set our mind on the earthly things and we've lost track of whose we are. For this reason, we gather together here this glorious morning to reset our mind on things that are above, to refocus ourselves once again on what's important, the resurrection, our new life. We're in a place and time where everything is available at our fingertips. Ask me a question, and in just a matter of a second, I'll Google it and find you an answer. Or better yet, just let me get my phone out, and we'll ask Siri, and Siri can tell us the answer. We tend to think nowadays that we can handle anything. We don't need to gather with one another. I can get what I need on the internet. Do you know that I was in a class a year or so ago, and several denominational people were there, and there were two ministers that I met from different denominations who their whole assigned role with their denomination was to be a minister on a virtual church. Do you know what I mean when I say virtual church? There's a whole virtual world out there where people come and they make these avatars, they create avatars of themselves, and they live these lives in this virtual world. And there are churches there, and there are denominations who have assigned people to be the pastor of those churches, where you don't have to really be you, and you don't really have to know anyone else. We gather here today because after the darkness of Holy Week, we need to be with others. We need to be in relationship to one another. We need to refocus. After we've let the world distract us, we need to remember, we need to turn our minds back onto what's important. In those moments when nothing makes sense, when the chaos of the world is all around us, there is that voice in us that says, "Do not fear." We spend our lives torn between joy and fear, don't we? Fear of what might happen to our loved ones in this world, yet joy that we have them in our lives. Fear of if we'll have a job next week, yet the joy of those we work with and the work that we do. Fear of the future, yet joy in the moment. A little closer to home, fear of the future of the church, yet joy in the gospel we proclaim. For this reason, we gather today to see the joy of life in the midst of fear, in the midst of turmoil. Christ is risen. Do not be afraid. Come, come into the tomb. See, the tomb is empty. I heard the story once of a lawyer who was known by most of the prison staff to be a very spiritual person. So one day a corrections officer came up to him and said, "Would you mind speaking to this prisoner? He's been somewhat distraught and depressed. He's a repeat offender, and he just feels stuck in a circle." And so the lawyer told the story of just walking in and sitting down with the man for a few moments. He didn't really know what to say or where to start or how this should all take place. But he sat there for a few minutes, and then he looked at the man and he said, "I believe with all my heart that God dwells in you. That was all. No sermon, no prayers, no browbeating. The prisoner began to weep. It was life-changing for both the lawyer and the prisoner. Because you see, sometimes we identify ourselves with what we do, with the mistakes we make, with the darkness in our lives, even the questions that we can't seem to answer, and we lose track of the fact that Christ died, and now our lives are hidden within Christ in the resurrection. For this reason, we gather here today. Because we need to remind each other, no matter what has gone on before, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Nothing of this world, nothing can remove you from God. Not our mistakes, not our distractions, not our thoughts. In death and in resurrection, we were hidden with Christ. Tucked away in His loving arms so that we have new life today and tomorrow and every day. And so when we gather here today and we remember the life that Christ lived, the sacrifice He made, and the mysterious and miraculous resurrection, the joy in new life that we can't help but believe that we live here with Christ and that Christ is revealed in us. It can't be enough for us to stay hidden. Christ must radiate through us. As Dustin's song so beautifully put, the walls need to be torn down. That means when we pass that person who needs a kind word, when we sit with a person who needs to know that God is in them, when we wrap our arms around each other and share the peace of Christ, when we're just sitting at our desk doing our everyday work, our mind must be on things above, not here on earth. And the hope that we find in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that hope revealed in our lives for all to see. Amen and amen. Our hymn of response is "Crown Him with Many Crowns." This is a time in our service where you get to make your own personal response to God. Your thoughts for the day, your feelings for the day, your resurrection, new life for the day. If you have a decision that you would like to share with this community of faith, you can come. If you would like to unite with this church family, you can come. Towards the end of the hymn, if you would like to join with the choir, if you've sung the Hallelujah Chorus before and you want to join today to do that, you can move up. Catherine has music and you can join the choir in singing the Hallelujah Chorus. So I invite you to respond in whatever way you feel so moved to do. As we stand and sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."